It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. It is over for CHOP. Police in Seattle clearing out that six-block no-cop zone established after the death of George Floyd. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best.
I support peaceful demonstrations. Black Lives Matter. And I, too, want to help propel this movement forward toward meaningful exchange in our community. But enough is enough.
For about a month now, demonstrators have set up shop in CHOP, but it's being razed right now. Two teenagers shot and killed in that lawless zone. Cop cuts are coming to New York City. America's largest city has just voted to gut $1 billion from the NYPD.
We are going to reimagine policing in New York City.
City Council says the changes will trim the size of the police force by 1,100 officers. New York Assemblyman Joe Borelli.
We know that what we're doing will create a more violent city, and yet we're doing it anyway.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham calls the decision dangerous and dumb.
Who fills the vacuum when you cut police budgets? Crooks and thugs. Who suffers the most when you have less cops? The poor. In high-crime neighborhoods.
As COVID cases across the country continue to rise, the nation's top disease expert predicts things could get worse before they get better.
We are now having 40-plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around.
Dr. Anthony Fauci testifying Tuesday before a Senate panel.
When you have an outbreak in one part of the country, even though in other parts of the country they're doing well, they are vulnerable. We can't just focus on those areas that are having the surge. It puts the entire country at risk.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, sick and tired of all the bad COVID news.
All I hear, Dr. Fauci, is we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't play baseball. Perhaps our government experts might hold their tongue before expressing the opinion whether we can play NFL football.
The senator says Fauci's doom and gloom forecast is causing a lot of unnecessary fear.
Ultimately, this all comes down to the fatal conceit that central planners have enough knowledge somehow to tell a nation of 330 million people what they can and can't do. No one knows the answers to these questions. We shouldn't presume that a group of experts somehow knows what's best for everyone.
U.S. cases of coronavirus, meantime, hit an all-time high yesterday. More than 48,000 reported. It's the 1st of July, and that means the new North American trade deal, USMCA, is in effect.
The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, so named by President Trump, will have a big impact on the auto industry. In order for autos to be exported tariff-free, they'll now need to include more North American content. Mexico must also pay higher wages to skilled workers and do more to eliminate illegal child labor. Adrian Bard, Mexico City.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that religious schools can get state aid. The 5-4 decision means states must allow private institutions access to scholarship money.
Parents now have more choices. Parents aren't limited anymore or shackled by these laws that were limiting their ability to partner with scholarship programs or participate in programs alongside non-religious entities and non-religious schools.
Matzi Alvarado with the Beckett Fund calls it a huge victory for school choice.
In this time of racism, when we're grappling with these issues around the country, it's good to know that we don't want to discriminate in this country, and that the Supreme Court has drawn this line in the sand about what we don't stand for, and religious discrimination is out.
Lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle weighing in today on allegations that Russia offered bounties for killing American troops in Afghanistan. Democrats are demanding answers.
The president called this a hoax publicly. Nothing in the briefing that we have just received led me to believe it is a hoax.
But Republicans argue the intelligence is unverified.
I know the press likes to think the president knew about this and didn't say anything. It was a cover-up. He didn't know about it.
The White House says the real scandal here is leakers who endanger national security. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany.
Who's going to want to cooperate with the United States intelligence community? Who's going to want to be a source or an asset if they know that their identity could be disclosed?
There are reports today that the Russian bounties led to the deaths of three Marines, Americans, in Afghanistan. New pro-life legislation on the books in Florida. The governor there, Ron DeSantis, signing the bill that requires minors get their parents' permission first before they can get an abortion. Joe Biden held his first press conference in 89 days yesterday in a gymnasium in Wilmington, Delaware.
I'm happy to take questions if you have them.
The former VP took 15 questions over 30 minutes. The 77-year-old was asked about his cognitive capability.
All I got to do is watch me, and I can hardly wait to compare my cognitive capability to the cognitive capability of the man I'm running against.
If he wins in November, Biden would be the oldest president ever elected in American history. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves has signed a bill that mandates removal of the state flag and its Confederate emblem.
I understand the need to commit the 1894 flag to history and find a banner that is a better emblem for all Mississippi.
Mississippi is the last state to erase the rebel emblem on its flag. Voters will pick a new design in November. Still to come on this midweek edition of the Noon Report. A local sheriff says Governor Cuomo is a bully. Pennsylvania enacts police reforms, and doctors want school back in session.
Good afternoon to all. We're looking at sunshine and a stray thunderstorm this afternoon. I'll be back with a look toward the Independence Day weekend coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right. No, a lot of folks are looking forward to that. Thank you, Kevin. Checking the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. Eight more states have been added to New York's travel advisory, and that brings to 16 now the total number of states affected by Governor Cuomo's 14-day quarantine order.
Good news is our house is doing very well. Bad news is the neighbor's home is on fire.
Anyone who visits New York from the 16 states included in the travel advisory must stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. Major doctor group says it's imperative that schools reopen this fall.
The American Academy of Pediatrics is concerned about the long-term ramifications of schools being closed. President Saragoza worries the forced social isolation of students can affect diet, exercise, and mental well-being. Many schools have yet to announce solid plans for the fall. Dr. Goza says when districts are closed, children and adolescents can become depressed, anxious, and even suicidal. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. St. John Fisher College in Rochester, New York's making plans to welcome back students August 24th for in-person instruction.
In terms of what the campus is going to look like, it's definitely going to look different. Our goal is to have as much face-to-face instruction as possible.
Dr. Christine Boev chairs the college's reopening committee.
They're also going to see hand sanitizing stations all over the college. There's going to be footprints that are going to help with traffic so that we're going to have one-way traffic throughout the campus. And then also reminders for them to stay 6 feet apart as much as possible.
The college will allow only two students to a dorm room. All students, faculty, and staff must wear masks while on campus at St. John Fisher College. Joe Biden is leading President Trump in Pennsylvania. The latest Susquehanna survey has the former VP with a 46 to 41% edge in the Keystone State. The same poll shows voters are increasingly frustrated with the way Governor Wolf has managed the COVID pandemic in Pennsylvania. He's gone from a 68% approval rating in April to just 49% today. Chautauqua County, New York Sheriff Jim Quattrone is insulted by an executive order from Governor Cuomo. It mandates all police departments review their police procedures or risk losing state aid.
We go through those policies on a regular basis. To further tie it to funding for the entire county in any of the services, I think, is being a bit of a bully.
The sheriff accuses the governor of abusing his authority.
I don't believe the authority that the governor has had during the COVID should be extended to the criminal justice reforms.
But Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist says police reforms are necessary to restore trust between the cops and the community.
I actually agree with the governor's idea that we should be looking at what our police departments are doing across the state. I think it's important, especially with the national sentiment going on over race relations, that we evaluate whether our policies are the most appropriate to police a community.
The comprehensive review of police procedures must be completed by April 1st of next year, or the state will hold back on financial aid to local police departments. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf will sign police reform legislation soon. It was fast-tracked as a result of the death of George Floyd. This legislation passed both the House and the Senate without a single no vote. State Senator Vincent Hughes.
Protest is turning into policy, and that is turning into real change. We may be just beyond a moment, but really in a movement.
Hughes thinks the police reforms will benefit rural communities the most.
Communities that just a few years ago, where there'd be efforts to organize the Klan, are now stepping up and saying unabashedly, Black Lives Matter.
The bills are aimed at weeding out bad cops by requiring new training on the use of deadly force, better monitoring of an officer's mental health, and the disclosure of employment history for those with careers in law enforcement. Big League Baseball players reporting to training camp today, but for the minor leaguers, it is game over. There will be no minor league baseball season in 2020, and that disappoints John Hughes, owner of the Binghamton Rumble Pony.
I think it also hurts the fans who aren't going to get to come out to games. I think the emotional toll of all this is significant on everybody.
The Rumble Ponies are a AA affiliate of the New York Mets. We'll get more on the demise of minor league baseball next in sports. It's the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delfiet.
Yeah, Bob, baseball's minor leagues canceled their season yesterday, and ESPN's Jeff Bassan says teams are now asking,
what is our future exactly? I mean, these are all small businesses that have been absolutely waylaid by the pandemic. And while Major League Baseball was hoping to cut around 40 teams and take the minor league system down to about 120 affiliates, at this point, the business future of some of these organizations is really up in the air.
Minor League's Pat O'Connor says we're a fans-in-the-stands business. He estimates 85 to 90% of revenue is related to ticket money, concessions, parking, and ballpark advertising. The minors drew 41.5 million fans last year for 176 teams in 15 leagues, averaging 4,044 fans per game. It's the second spring training for Major League Baseball. Players expected to report today to the respective clubs for the MLB preseason summer camp. Most workouts start Friday. All 30 teams have submitted 60-man player pools for 2020. A 60-game season begins July 23rd or the 24th. And it's Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. The 57-year-old Bobby Bonilla will collect a check for $1,193,248.20 from the New York Mets, as he has and will every July 1st from 2011 through 2035.
I was very fortunate to be able to put something together with Dennis Gilbert that paid me a little longer. And I was able to weather some storms, and it was a great move on our part.
You can say that again. Bobby Bonilla has not played for the Mets since 1999. In 2000, they agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on his contract. Instead of paying Bobby the $5.9 million at the time, the Mets agreed to make annual payments of nearly $1.2 million for 25 years, starting on July 1st, 2011. At the time, Mets ownership had invested in a Bernie Madoff account that promised double-digit returns. That did not work out, but it did work out for Bobby, who will be paid until he's 72. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiet.
The best big league contract in Major League history right there. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report. We're having a conversation with a New York congressman. Coming up, lots to talk about there. CHOP, now on the chopping block in Seattle, and the Rattlesnake Roundup in Noxon, Pennsylvania.
After 2 weeks of bad news from the Supreme Court, it sure is nice to get some good news. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. The past 2 weeks of Supreme Court rulings have not been encouraging. After a disastrous ruling last week in Bostock arbitrarily expanded civil rights protections to include sexual orientation and gender identity, this week the court in June Medical all but handcuffed meaningful state efforts to restrict abortion. Finally, yesterday, some good news. The Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, held its ground on discrimination against religious education. In Espinoza versus Department of Revenue, the court ruled that a state tax credit which discriminates against religious schools and the families whose children attend or hope to attend them violates the First Amendment's free exercise clause. Now, this case dates back to 2015 when the state of Montana created a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for individuals who donate to organizations that provide scholarships to private school students. After creating the program, the Montana Department of Revenue ruled that such a tax credit, if used to scholarship students for religious private schools, would violate the state's version of the Blaine Amendment, which prohibits state funding of religious education. Well, Kendra Espinoza, a single mom who works extra jobs so her kids can attend a Christian school, challenged the Department of Revenue's ruling in court. In late 2018, the Montana Supreme Court acknowledged that the department's ruling probably ran afoul of the U.S. Constitution's free exercise clause. However, instead of overturning the ruling, it just invalidated the entire program. Well, thankfully, that didn't work. In his opinion, Chief Justice John Roberts said that when otherwise eligible recipients are disqualified from a public benefit solely because of their religious character, we must apply strict scrutiny. Strict scrutiny means that the action can only be justified by a compelling governmental interest. Montana lacked a compelling governmental interest. Instead, the state argued that the law served Montana's interest in separating church and state more fiercely than the federal constitution. Well, Montana's interest, replied Justice Roberts, is actually limited by the Constitution, specifically the Free Exercise Clause. The separation of church and state can't be done by discriminating against the church, and religion is not some secondary part of the First Amendment. Even more, Roberts continued, Montana's attempt to sweep the free exercise problem it had under the rug doesn't change what he called Montana's error of federal law. After all, because of the Trinity Lutheran decision, the Montana court already knew the department's ruling was unconstitutional, but instead of applying the decision as it should have, it just invalidated the whole program to make absolutely sure that religious schools received no aid. That action itself violated the free exercise clause, according to Roberts. A state, he said, need not subsidize private education, but once a state decides to do so, it cannot disqualify some private schools solely because they are religious. Well, Roberts' opinion is a resounding repudiation of dozens of Blaine amendments in other states as well. Originally targeted to limit Catholic education, these amendments provide legal cover for treating religious institutions and the people who depend on them as second-class citizens. Roberts made it as clear as possible that they, and we, are not. And perhaps the best part of this ruling, it offers a roadmap for Christians who hope to help people like Kendra Espinoza afford Christian education. Educational innovation has long been among the best gifts Christians have to give to the wider world. This is an open door for us to become even more creative today. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Thank you, John. Lots of folks on the go for the 4th. What can they expect weather-wise? Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams. Kevin, got some steamy days ahead. Thank you very much at the Weather Center today. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for being along today. A lot to get to this Wednesday afternoon, the first day of July. USMCA took effect today. This trade deal replaces NAFTA, should help farmers, too, by opening up new markets with Canada and Mexico. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue.
This is good for the whole economy. This this will bring jobs back to the United States, but changes things by leveling the playing field.
Purdue says 12 million U.S. jobs depend on trade with Mexico and Canada. Business analyst Jeff Mosley says the timing of USMCA could not be better in the midst of a China-born pandemic.
USMCA is coming right now at a time when there is going to be a real focus of manufacturers to bring back jobs from Asia.
USMCA also expected to reinvigorate the auto industry. For the fourth time this week, U.S. cases of coronavirus have hit an all-time high. More than 48,000 new cases reported yesterday alone. Dr. Anthony Fauci is with the National Institutes of Health.
I think it's important to tell you and the American public that I'm very concerned because it could get very bad.
Fauci testifying Tuesday on Capitol Hill, he predicts the infection rate could increase to 100,000 a day if this pandemic does not turn around and soon. Vice President Mike Pence says masks are a must in order to mitigate the spread of COVID-19.
We know how to slow the spread. Wear a mask whenever your state and local authorities say it's appropriate.
Nationwide, 28 states have seen an increase in their infection rate the past couple of weeks. Texas, California, and Florida have been hit the hardest of many of these states. Correspondent David Begno is at a coronavirus testing site in Miami, Florida.
The governor, who still refuses to require people statewide to wear masks, he said yesterday, hey, listen, we're not going backwards. I'm not closing things again because I don't think open businesses are to blame for the spike in cases. But here in Miami-Dade County, which is the most populated county in the state, the mayor actually did take a step back. In fact, yesterday he said, listen, I'm going to order all businesses that seat eight or more people, restaurants that seat eight or more, to close.
David Begno reporting from Miami today. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo added eight more states to his travel advisory, and that brings to 16 now the total number of states impacted by the two-week quarantine. The governor also says he doesn't know if kids will be able to go back to school this fall. New York Post columnist Carol Markowitz.
We can't live like this. There's other important things in the world other than coronavirus, and I've written on a number of different levels about how kids are being damaged by this, and not having schools restart would just be a disaster for children.
Markowitz says the governor's posturing on the pandemic is putting parents between a rock and a hard place when it comes to making plans for the fall. Seattle police are dismantling that six-block police free zone that was set up following the death of George Floyd about a month ago is when this CHOP, as they call it, took effect. Protesters set up shop, but the neighbors complain about lawlessness and violence even, and the police chief today moved in. Two teenagers were killed by gunfire in that cop-free zone. CHOP will be no more later today. The anti-cop culture alive and well in New York City. It has just voted to gut the police department to the tune of $1 billion. Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Carrick.
They're taking what we would call normally the capital of the world, New York City, and they're going to turn it back into a cesspool.
The cuts will trim the police force of the NYPD by some 1,100 officers. Joe Biden is pouncing on the Russia bounty story that has the president now playing defense. Reports suggest that Mr. Trump was briefed months ago about the Kremlin's efforts to pay Taliban-backed militants to kill our soldiers in Afghanistan.
The idea that somehow he didn't know or isn't being briefed, it is a dereliction of duty if that's the case. And if he was briefed and nothing was done about this, that's a dereliction of duty.
President Trump says the intelligence on the Russia bounty story is unverified. There are reports that the Russian bounties led to the deaths of three Marines in Afghanistan. The U.S. Senate's extended the Paycheck Protection Program. That subsidy provides financial relief to small businesses hit hard by the pandemic through August 8th. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
People are losing their homes. People are not being fed. People are losing their jobs.
5 million small businesses have utilized the Paycheck Protection Program since it was initially passed as part of the CARES Act back in March. The extension comes as COVID cases spike in many states, causing them to reactivate shutdown orders. A new survey shows nearly a quarter of all Americans will not return to the gym or fitness center even once they reopen from this crisis. Many folks have found new ways to exercise during these days of social distancing. One third of respondents to the poll plan to keep their gym membership but go less often. 42% prefer to use the home gym setup. And it looks like Oakland A's fans will be able to attend games after all, well, sort of. With the 60-game MLB season slated to begin July 23rd, the A's have announced that people can pay to have a cardboard cutout of themselves put in the ballpark for games. How about that? Fans can buy a regular cutout for $89, or they can upgrade by a special foul ball zone cutout for $129. If a cutout's hit by a foul ball, the team will send that ball to the owner of the cutout that got hit. You can't make this stuff up. It is 25 past the hour. Next up, a conversation with New York Congressman Tom Reed. We're talking COVID-19, Russian bounties, the new trade deal with Mexico and Canada, and recent Supreme Court rulings. Congressman, it's a pleasure to have you on again today, sir. Some breaking news overnight. New York's governor adding 8 more states to his travel advisory, including California, due to the uptick in COVID cases. Your thoughts on what the governor has done here with the 4th of July holiday right around the corner?
Well, you know, obviously, we have to be careful. We have to have a healthy respect for the virus. I understand recognizing the threats coming from the other states. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing. So I, you know, support what the governor's doing in regards to the quarantine orders. But we also have to recognize we will be traveling. This is a holiday. And we just got to be smart.
Gyms, shopping malls, and the third one escapes my mind. There's 3 big ones. Movie theaters. I always miss that one. Really upset that they're not open yet in phase 4. Gym owners are even thinking about filing a class action lawsuit in New York. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is troublesome because we haven't had any guidance from the state, no communication. We get a lot of information at the last second. And that's what happened here. There was an understanding that these businesses would be included, and then at the last second, they were excluded. Mm-hmm. And they were given some kind of nebulous, we're going to get to you later. And that's not good planning. That's not good coordination. So I hear their frustration, and I stand with them. We can do this smart. We can mitigate the risk of the virus and keep moving forward.
The Russia bounty story continues to make headlines. House Democrats were briefed on this yesterday. The president has called this a hoax. Do you think he should have maybe used different words? Has he been transparent enough as to what really went down here?
Well, you know, obviously it's troublesome when you talk about a country like Russia trying to target our men and women in the military by way of a bounty. Now, we have to get to the evidence, and I'm still waiting for a briefing for us in the intelligence arena so that we can get the classified information. Time will tell, but when you have a country that's putting bounty, if they're doing this, they need to be held to account.
Does the president have more explanation that he needs to come forth with here? He says it's unverified. That's the word he's using. But there are reports that he was briefed on this as far back as February.
Well, and that's where what is in the news and what is real is something I'm going to wait till I actually get the intelligence briefings and can actually see the evidence as to what exactly happened. But I would think that any president, if our men and women are being targeted, any president would stand and hold that country accountable for that action. Mm-hmm. So this whole attack on the president may just be that, an attack.
USMCA, which has replaced the North American Free Trade Agreement, takes effect today, July 1. Tom, how will this help the residents of your district?
Well, it's a great day, and it's great to be able to talk about something other than the virus and the other crises that are going on. So Mexico, Canada, we now have an updated agreement going into effect today. It's going to help our dairy farmers. It's going to help the digital trade front. And so you're going to see a lot of opportunities in the grape growers, the wine, the dairy.
Has the positive aspect of this trade agreement been muted some with this pandemic we're all facing?
Yes. I mean, obviously, you have to recognize that because international trade has been restricted by the virus and had its impact, obviously, on the economy. But it is a positive movement in the right direction, and it's a day to celebrate. We have a new agreement with Mexico and Canada, and it's a good day.
All right. Finally, a win for conservatives at the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, Tom, but it has been a couple of really tough weeks. Chief Justice Roberts has sided with the four liberals three times in 2 weeks in 5-4 decisions. Could this hurt, could this come back to hurt Republicans come November?
You know, when I look at the court, I don't try to look at it from a political lens. This is the separation of powers that the founding fathers so wisely put in place. And so to think the Supreme Court is going to take care of our business, it also reminds me why we have to have a strong congressional responsibility of legislating and dealing with these issues there, and then also keep the executive branch in check also. Mm-hmm. We've delegated a tremendous amount of authority to the president, and not just President Trump, but the presidents over the last 50 years. And so that's why balance of power is so critically important to me.
Yeah. Some conservatives say that Chief Justice Roberts has unfairly engaged in political activism because on that abortion case, he ruled in favor of pro-lifers when this was in Texas, but now has ruled against this law. Do conservatives have an argument when it comes to his activism here?
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear the argument and I see the argument, and it is concerning as a pro-life supporter. I hope that's not the case. I guess I'm naive. I'm still an idealist at times. I still believe in our separation of powers, and I believe in the wisdom of what the founding fathers put together.
Well, Tom, you've been very gracious. Happy 4th of July to you and your family, and we really appreciate it.
Enjoy the 4th and remember what it's all about, our great country, and also family and friends are the most important thing.
And I wish I could say baseball, but not this year.
Not this year.
All right,
Tom. We'll get there.
We will get there indeed. That's New York Congressman Tom Reed, our newsmaker interview for today. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We're heading toward the Independence Day weekend with expectations for some pretty fine weather to be out and about. Fair skies and warm weather will prevail much of the time, but as we'll indicate in a moment, there will be a thunderstorm or two to deal with as well. The call for this afternoon, sunshine and some mixed clouds. Watch for an isolated shower or thunderstorm across central New York and northeastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures mid-70s to the mid-80s, dropping into the 60s tonight with moonlit skies. Hot, humid tomorrow, sunshine, high temperatures 80s and low 90s. Cooler near Lake Erie in Ontario. Friday, sun and clouds. Slight chance of an afternoon shower or thundershower, especially central New York. A high Friday in the 80s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Finally at noon today, COVID-19 taking a bite out of a popular event in northeastern Pennsylvania. The world-famous Rattlesnake Roundup in Knoxon has been canceled. The Knoxon Volunteer Fire Department announcing that cancellation on its Facebook page. Organizers say the health and safety of its snake wrestling participants is its number one priority. Well, it's good they're promoting health and safety at a rattlesnake roundup. That's the world we live in. Wednesday, the 1st of July. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.